pray this morning. Amen. I didn't know I had to preach this morning. I was thinking it was just worship. So, but I guess we'll go with some teaching this morning. Lord, we thank you that as we worship, Lord, and contemplate your goodness to us, Lord, we get to enjoy your presence. We get to celebrate, Lord, that we have new mercies this morning. Every morning they are new, Lord. Thank you. Your power is in us, Lord. Your grace is in us. We enjoy, Lord, being your children. We rejoice in the fact that we are new creation, Lord. We prepare our hearts to celebrate, to worship, Lord, to proclaim your name, to establish you in our lives, Lord, to adore you. Give us the right mind, the right heart. Give us the adoration that flows from the Spirit, Lord. And Lord, you have said that you do not receive glory from men, Lord. You receive the glory that is originated in you, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, in the newness of life, Lord, in that transformation that assures us that we are new creation, Lord, and allow us to just come and give you thanks and adore you and praise you, Lord, in spirit, Lord. So allow us to do that. Open our minds and hearts. Guide us today. And Lord, throughout this message, allow us to grasp, Lord, the real meaning of Christmas, Lord. The meaning, Lord, of being your followers in a time like this, Lord. In your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, John. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for leading us. Praise God. Are you excited to be here this morning worshiping the Lord? Amen. It's a beautiful day, and God is giving us a beautiful sunrise this morning. In fact, you know, I was thinking, Lord, you do this every day in a different way. Amen. But you know something? He does it every moment. Because every moment in some place in the earth is just dawning, right? That is an amazing thing, you know. The providence of God, 24 hours, you know, every day there is a sunrise somewhere in some place in the world. Amen? And tomorrow it'll be new again here, but it's going all around the earth every moment. And we rejoice in that. God is so good, and to be here celebrating His goodness. Are you excited to celebrate Christmas this week?
Yeah.
What's Christmas? You know, as we think about it, and we see the lights, you know, in Granby, there is some kind of a contest going on. You know, everybody has lights in the houses and in the streets. And I told my wife, seems like there is more lights than normal this season. And sure enough, something's going on, you know, in town. And I was thinking, Lord, that is really good. Because when we're driving through the streets in the midst of darkness, especially where we live, there aren't that many lights, you know. But one thing we see, the light is shining in the midst of darkness. Sadly, not many people know what Christmas is about, right? And they get lost in the superficial and external things of Christmas. But for us Christians, we know what the reason of the season is, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let us look at this video before I go into the message, into the passage. Christmas is not about one day. It's not about an event, one time. Christmas is about what Jesus Christ is doing continually in us. And as I was thinking of this, you know, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I was thinking, Lord, what is Christmas and the focus of it? The mystery of God is revealed through Christ. That's what Christmas is. The mystery of God, which is developing and obviously being revealed to us in so many ways through Christ, is at place. And I want to invite you to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1 through 13 this morning. We're going to look at this passage and just focus on this mystery that Paul speaks of. We're going to go slow. Last night it only took us 3 hours, so you know, a little slower today. This is so powerful, this passage. And if you notice, this is part of the verses that I was using on the letter you received last weekend, or this weekend for that matter. But it says here, Paul speaking, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of Jews, Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the mystery, the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Look at this passage and the depthness of it when Paul reveals, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, parts of the mystery of Christ. And I really think that through this passage, when you look at this, there is so much that is just pointing to that mystery. In verse 3, he says, the mystery was made known to me by revelation in a supernatural way. In verse 4, he says, you can read and perceive my insight into the mystery, and this mystery is directly connected to Christ, the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons of, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. And then he says, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the power of the Spirit in these times. And then he says, this mystery has to do with the Gentiles, that they are fellow heirs, members of the same body in verse 6, and partakers of the promises in Christ through the gospel. So the mystery is connected to the Gentiles, or given to the Gentiles through Paul. Now the Gentiles are heirs, members of Christ, of the church, of the body, and partakers of the gifts and grace and promise in Christ Jesus. But all this is given and presented and proclaimed and revealed in some ways through the power of the Holy Spirit by the gospel which Paul was preaching. Now look at what he continues to say in verse 7. I was made a minister of this gospel that carries the mystery which we are seeing. And he says, it was given to me by the working of his power. And then in verse 8 he says, to me though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given. It's a mystery that carries grace to the Gentiles and promises through the gospel. And then he says in verse, on the end of verse 8, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So the grace has riches that are even unsearchable. I mean, we cannot get to the bottom of it. And to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God. Century upon century on the past, God had this in mind, but he finally revealed it to Paul, to the apostles, to the prophets. And then he says, and this mystery in verse 10 is going to be made known through the church. In what ways? Through the manifold wisdom of God, that it might be now we may know to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So the mystery is being revealed on the earth, but also in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the whole mystery grows from Jesus. And then it says in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We are able to enter into this mystery, to receive the gifts, to be part of his kingdom. And then he says in verse 13, so I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you. Don't even think about it, because it's all worth it for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of this mystery that is being revealed. So what do we celebrate in Christmas? In Christmas, the mystery of God is revealed through Christ, and we have the opportunity to not only dwell and contemplate, but also to proclaim and to celebrate the mystery that is being given to us, as Paul is saying. And very often, if you look at what's going on today in the world, people look at Christmas as this gift. It's just, people get, you know, entangled and kind of celebrate the outer part of the gift. They don't know what the gift is. They see a gift, they see the lights, they see the celebration. I think of how many people wait for this time to maybe visit family, maybe go and spend time Christmas with their parents or their grandparents, or their children come over to your house. And a lot of people, you know, even people that go to church, they listen to the message, the proclamation of Christmas, but they only see the superficial part of Christmas because they haven't grasped the value of the gift. Amen? It's not being revealed to them what the gift is in all its fullness. Now, I want to mention four things this morning. And I want to mention, first of all, that this mystery is a purposeful mystery. Paul is talking, and we're going to go back to verse 1 in Ephesians 3. We're going to spend most of our time here this morning in Ephesians 3. And look what Paul says. For this reason, so there is purpose right there. This is my call, this is my circumstance, my situation, this is my privilege, this is what I'm doing. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. So the purpose or the reason of Paul to be a prisoner of Christ is because of the Gentiles. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, I have a responsibility as a steward. I have a privilege, but also, what he's really saying there, the word is administrating the gift, the gospel, the mystery. And that mystery, that gospel has him in prison, but he's doing all this on behalf of the Gentiles because he's a steward of God's grace. And then look what it says in verse 2 on the end of it. That was given to me for you. So Paul is a steward that is receiving the mystery revealed to him so that he can proclaim it and administrate that for the rest of the Gentiles. Now, when we look at this mystery, it's a purposeful mystery that when you understand it and receive it, your life completely changes, right? You don't see Christmas as everybody else sees it, right? Because you know what the reason for Christmas is. You don't see the celebration and the lights and the trees and whatever you do during Christmas, you don't see it as the rest of the people see it. Because you have been given purpose through the message of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is not just in this time, but it is revealing, it's being revealed to us throughout the year and every season of the year. Amen? Amen? So therefore, it could be February, March, June, and we rejoice in the fact that Christ came, right? As a baby. That Emmanuel is with us. God incarnate. Now, this is a mystery that is purposeful, but it's a mystery that not everybody understands today. As I said, they look at the outer appearance of the gift, but they don't receive the value of the gift. A lot of Christians trivialize Christmas because they haven't received really the message of Christ in their hearts. It's a religion. For many, it's a superficial idea of taking a break and just going out to places and maybe partying, but they don't really know the reason of this. They receive gifts and that's fine, but they haven't received the real gift. In fact, there is people confused about this message. Now, look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 7 through 10. Talking about this mystery that not everybody understands. But we impart, as Christians that have the gift, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God. It's the mystery. And we impart the mystery, which is a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. For many centuries before, God established it and He is preparing it for us. None of the rulers of this age understood this. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eyes has seen, nor ear, nor the heart of man imagined, that's what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has given us the gift. And so we were able to open the gift and see that there is a gift of salvation and transformation for our lives. Amen? For a lot of people, this is all they see. For us, we are getting deeper in the gift of Jesus Christ. Amen? We are saved. It's a secret wisdom that has been given to us and is hidden, but we receive it and we experience the goodness of God in our lives. Now, look what he continues to say here. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. See, proclaiming and preaching and just mentioning these things is not enough. One of the things that I pray and I know that needs to take place continually here in church or in my life, with my family, with my friends and people that I share the gospel with, this is, when I share the gospel, I know this is the message of truth, okay? But I know that unless the Holy Spirit is working on the hearts of people, this is not enough. Amen? There has to be a work of God in the heart of men and women for them to understand and receive the message, the proclamation, and the power of God in their life. The Spirit is the one who gives us that. Now, the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. This is something amazing, you know, for me. We do not have Jesus because we celebrate Christmas. Amen? We celebrate Christmas because Jesus is in us. Amen? And we don't only celebrate Jesus, we celebrate Passover, and we celebrate communion from Sunday to Sunday, and we celebrate the gathering, and we celebrate the worship. We celebrate because Christ is in us. And people, what people see from outside, they say, oh, these people celebrate Christmas because that's what makes them Christians. No, no, no. We are Christians already. And we receive the gospel, and we understand what it means to be a believer, and we understand that knowledge of God that is imparted only through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's continue here. This mystery, which not everybody understands, was a mystery that Paul was a steward on behalf of the Gentiles. And I look at this and, you know, we rejoice and we proclaim. And yes, we want to shed light. We want to share the light of Christ to other people. But this is a message for us Christians. You know, we should be exploding in joy. Amen? Amen? And excitement of what we are part of as believers. You know, this morning as we look at these things, let us remember we are part of this mystery. In fact, there is no other revelation in the Bible that is more important than the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything in the New Testament reveals and manifests Jesus Christ. And when you look at these things, this is what gives us purpose and stewardship as believers on behalf of everyone. I look at this and when Paul received the gospel, the Bible says that Ananias, a servant of God in Damascus, received a vision from God. And the vision was, Ananias, rise and go to such and such place because you will find there a man named Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prays. And he has seen that you pray for him, and then he will receive sight. Now, Ananias said, wait a minute, Lord. I heard of this man before, and I know how evil this guy is. In fact, he has put a lot of men in prison, and he's got authority to come here and also put Christians in prison. So I don't want to go. And something amazing is said to Ananias again in verse 15 of Acts 9. It says, the Lord told him, go for Paul. He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So when Paul is revealing the mystery to us in Ephesians, Paul had received a call by God to be a chosen instrument to carry God's name, the glory of God, before Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Remember, the apostles were there as columns and pillars of pillars of the gospel with the Jewish community. But Paul came and he became a minister to the Gentiles, to the people that was to believe in Asia and Rome and in every other place. He, by God's grace and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he explained to us, Gentiles, what it means to be Christians. How do we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ? And remember, it is through that inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this is not just a set of rules and commandments and ideas for the Jewish people, but for all the world. Amen? Jesus was brought from this place in the Jewish community to the rest of the world through Paul, the apostle, the minister that was working on behalf of the Gentiles. Now, in that same way, we get purpose when we receive the gospel and the message of Christmas. Look in Acts 26, verse 15 through 18. Look at the purpose of Paul. When Paul was going to Damascus and Jesus says, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said to Paul, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. I appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and witness to the things in which you have seen me, and to those in which I will appear to you." There was revelation that took place right there in the moment, but also there was revelation that Paul kept receiving from God. And he says, "I have appeared to appoint you as a servant in on behalf of these people." And then look what he says, "delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you to open their eyes." To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. What is the aim that we have as Christians through these times? That God will use us and give us purpose, you know. One of the things that I love in my life, you know, in my house, we celebrate Christmas with my family on actually Christmas Eve after church. We go home and we have a dinner. But what I love about our family, my sisters and my brothers, many of them are Christians, but not all, you know, is that when they come, in some way they may hear the joy, the excitement, the message of the gospel, the prayers, the glory that Jesus is to receive. That's the center of my life. And the reason I want it in my house is because I want it my way. Amen? And the reason I want it my way is because I want to put the scripture before us and have Jesus be the center of what we're celebrating over there. Okay? It's not about the boxes and the gifts. It's not about the superficial things and the external things. It's about the value of the gift, Jesus Christ. And when the gospel comes and the Holy Spirit is working on someone, the eyes are open. That should be our prayer. That should be our prayer. That as a full nation, in fact, many nations in the world are celebrating Christmas, that more and more people will really seek and ask, what is Christmas about? What is this about? All this celebration and the whole world kind of stops for a moment to celebrate this. Let us be upon the business of Jesus Christ, being stewards of the gospel of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Because through this message that Paul is revealing in Ephesians chapter 3, this mystery that is being revealed, he's saying, look at the things that are happening. God is opening the eyes and he is bringing people from darkness into light, from the power of Satan to God. That is the heart of the message in Jesus Christ. And that's why we have a mystery that gives us purpose today. Amen? Now, next thing here, Jesus is an expected mystery. For years, he is the mystery that was expected. He is the Messiah, the Savior, the King of the Jews that was throughout the Old Testament proclaimed, the God Almighty who came and gave a revelation of everything. Look in verse 3, where we are reading in Ephesians chapter 3. "How the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ." Remember, they were believers. They are receiving this message, and they perceive the inside of the mystery that Paul is carrying, which is the mystery of Christ, which, by the way, was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And I love to focus on this for one reason. You know, God was pleased to reveal to us the message of the gospel, the message of Christ, the mystery of Christ in this time. Amen? In a greater way than ever before. And I think of this, and I don't know if you rejoice in this. You know, Jesus says in the gospel, he says, "There were many who desired and prayed to see the things that you are seeing today." Amen. And in that sense, let us remember one thing. You know, for almost 2,000 years, we have celebrated the arrival of Jesus Christ to the world. And we continue to celebrate that. But we are seeing, in many ways, the fullness of the Bible being established before our eyes. Amen.
Amen.
And what an amazing thing. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Amen. He will appear again. He was the one who was expected. And He is the one that we are expecting today. Amen.
Amen.
And if He appeared once, according to the fullness of the prophecies, He will do it again. Amen. Look at the truth that has been given to us and how, as Christians, you know, we see the Word of God revealed to us, giving us this assurance and confirmation that God is not a liar. He's not a son of man to lie or to say things that are not going to happen. In fact, He has fulfilled every promise and He will continue to fulfill the kingdom. Amen? And establish that kingdom. Now, Paul says here, this was not known to other generations as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles. Peter and John, you know, and Jacob, I mean, James and all of them. And now, Paul. Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, look what the mystery means. It's a mystery that was prophesied and expected with great anticipation. Not Julius Caesar. Not Alexander the Great, right? Not President Trump, let me say it. No one is being expected like Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
He is the one that was to come. He is the one that was to save us. He is the one that created the universe. And He is the light of the world. He was in the world. The world was made through Him. But the world didn't know Him yet. But He came. He came because He was expected. In 1 Peter 1:20 it says, He was foreknown in the heavenly places and in the prophecies of God before the foundation of the world. But He was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. How many of you know that we are in the last times?
Amen.
When you read the Bible, the last times started in the revelation of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Pentecost, and they have been existing in these last two millennia, okay? In these 20 centuries. You know that? So it was made manifest for us in these last times. In 1 Peter 1:10 through 12, it says, concerning this salvation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the mystery, the insight that Paul is talking about in Ephesians, here Peter says, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. How many of you have that grace this morning? They searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ, but also the subsequent glories that were to come after the sufferings of Christ. And it was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but Winter Park Christian Church. This generation. I mean, just think of that for a moment. Isn't it amazing that we have the promises of God and the fulfillments of God here in our fingertips, right?
Right.
People have died. Apostles and prophets died for this message. Amen?
Amen.
Christ died to accomplish and complete the full mystery of the truth. Amen? Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted this morning. This is the mystery that was expected. And we receive it. We have it. And they were serving us and God through endurance of many, through His supernatural ways and powers, and through His sovereignty, He has carried the gospel to us today in this place where we are in 2021, almost 2022. And I look at this and I think, Lord, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So we are carrying the message of heaven through the Holy Spirit. And then it says here, things into which angels long to look. Are you bored this morning? I mean, are you here wondering, what am I doing in this place? Angels long to look for the things that we share. Amen? And experience. But when the Spirit is not there, when we don't know what we have, we just have a box. Okay? We just have the wrapping of a box and we don't know what's in the gift. But when we open the gift, every time we look at the gospel and the truth of the message of God, we are receiving the things that are in the gift. You know, I wanted to do this thing because I thought, Lord, we have opened the gift, right? But even as we open the gift, there is still more to be opened in the mystery of Jesus Christ. Do you notice that? You know, and you keep opening and you keep searching and you keep... How many of you love gifts and open gifts? How many of you love to open gifts? I love to open gifts, right? But every time you open the gift, you know, and you find what's in there, okay, that's it. But with Christ, you know, we open the gift. And we open it again. And there is still more to be searching in the gospel, in the mystery that Paul is revealing here. And these things are things in which angels long to look. What an amazing thing. Now, this mystery is a mystery that appeared in the form of a baby. That's why, for many, it's confusing. And yes, he's not a baby anymore. He is at the right hand of the Father. Amen? He's interceding for us. He is holding the universe. And by his word, he sustains everything. But he came in the form of a baby. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is Jesus who was coming. Now, they saw the greatness of Jesus, the Messiah, the rulership, the kingship of the Lord. But when he came as a baby, you know, when he came in Bethlehem and not in Jerusalem. I mean, the kingdom was Rome, right? Why not Rome? If he's a king, why not Rome? When they saw him as a servant and not as a king. When they saw him with 12 fishermen, you know, instead of leaders. And rulers, you know, and maybe commanders of thousands upon thousands. They were confused. Because when they look at that, they realize, okay, it's a baby, not a king. It's from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Levi, not from the priest. He's a poor man, not a rich man. He didn't even have a place to born, right? To be born. And we are to believe in him. Because, and just remember this for a moment. God is confounding the wisdom of man. Amen? And revealing to us, poor people, his greatness. I rejoice in that. I rejoice in that because through the message of Jesus Christ, you know, me, you know, a regular, simple person who had not a chance in the world, I was able to receive the gift of Jesus Christ in my life. It's not about my name or my power. It's not about my ability. It's not about my wisdom. It's not about my money or my position in the world. It's about God's grace being revealed to me. The mystery came to us. So he came as a baby. Look in chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, what Brett was reading this morning. And look at the message. In the same region where Jesus was to be born, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Simple, humble men. Not the priests, not the scribes, not the rulers of Rome or Jerusalem. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And it will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." Where? In Bethlehem. A little city south of Jerusalem. Where is he going to be born? In a manger. He's going to be laying there in a manger. He's just a baby. And that is the sign for you. That's the revelation of the mystery. Because I'm going to show you my greatness and my goodness in the most humblest way. Amen? That's God revealing himself to us. And the Bible says that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. And on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So the whole heavenly realms were shocked and worshiping through this moment and excited about what was going on. And on the earth, peace of God was being revealed and manifested and given to men as God was pleased. In his sovereign will and power and direction. So it's an expected mystery that many still today miss. Amen. What do they see? They see gifts. They see advertisements. They see the commerce going crazy. The stores selling and buying and trying to put every kind of thing in your house. Right? From companies that deliver it, the ones that sell it, the ones that produce it, the ones that make you feel like you need to have it in order to be okay. But you know what is at the end of everything they receive? Emptiness. Death. Right? Pain. Confusion. For many, the hangover after the 2-3 days of partying, right? But for us Christians, it's not about the gifts. Yes, we celebrate. Yes, we proclaim. Yes, we spend time together. But for us Christians, it's about Jesus Christ and the gift that we have received. Let's go to the third thing here, a mystery of grace. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. Assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. We read this verse, but Paul is talking about a stewardship of God's grace. As he administrates, he is administrating God's grace. And obviously, grace is an unmerited favor. Now, in verse 6, it says, this mystery of grace, obviously, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body. We are connected in the vine. In the olive, in the place where Christ was coming, the Jewish community, the Jewish Christians, the believers, we are members of the same body, and then partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It's not just the regular, it's not many promises, although we get all the promises with Christ, but it's the promise that in Christ, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That's the main promise that Paul is talking about right here. In Christ Jesus through the gospel. And then he says, now this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of His power. It's a mystery that is given by grace to Paul because Paul didn't deserve it, but also by grace to us. Amen? Because we were not in that vine or in that olive tree. Right? We were grafted by grace into that place. And God all of a sudden made us partakers of all the gifts and promises in Jesus Christ. So it is a mystery of the grace of God given to make us heirs of the promises of Christ Jesus. Isaiah 61 verse 1 and 2. Look what it says. The Spirit of the Lord God, which was upon Christ. It's a prophecy about Christ. It's upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. They don't have money to get it. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. They were in pain. But I'm going to bind them up. To proclaim liberty to the captives. They were with no ability to be freed. But I'm going to give them liberty by grace. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. When you are bound, you have no way to release yourself from prison. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. They deserve punishment. But what they will receive is favor and grace in your life through me. So see, God's promises for us are undeserved. Amen? But we receive them because it's about grace. That's why we read in Luke 2:14, in the NIV it says, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. The favor of God is entering in our hearts and giving us peace and joy and excitement in any situation or circumstance. So God manifests His goodwill to those with whom He is pleased just by grace. And that is what we have received in the gift of salvation of Jesus Christ. We have received the grace. Now, in Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God has appeared. As Christ came as a baby, the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Not just Jews, not just the ones that were expecting it, but many of us who were not even aware of that. Amen? We were in the dark. We were in jail, in prison. We were lost, and God opened our minds and hearts. Now, what does this look like? Look in chapter 2, verse 1. And look what it means to receive this gift of grace. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So we were lost. We were with no hope, but God, in verse 4, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. Not just gave us hope and life, He made us alive with Christ Jesus. And then He says right there, by grace you have been saved. You couldn't do it yourself, you couldn't pull yourself from the hole, but God did it in ourselves. So the grace of God was manifesting His grace through that love, which is, in fact, being poured in us continually. I mean, how many of you need that love, the love of Christ today? I think the greatest need in Christmas for many, and the greatest void that is so difficult and so impossible to fill, is love. There is a lot of people lost in this time. And a lot of people that say, maybe if I go to this group, maybe if I go to that place, maybe if I go back to my home, maybe if I do this, I will experience joy and peace. But the fact of the matter is, they are searching for the love of God. Amen? And nothing will satisfy an empty heart as the love of God. So through this time and season, let us reflect on the grace of God giving us His love, so that we may be stewards of His grace and we continue to live in victory. In 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 9, look at the grace of God revealed. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but sharing suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace. So God had a plan, and He's giving His grace to us, and He gave us that in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Before the ages began, and that's the beauty of the grace of God, that even on days when I wake up and I don't feel God, and I don't feel like going to God, and I don't feel like I deserve anything from God, God is there because of His grace. Amen? Nothing that I do, I don't have to perform in order for God to love me. Amen? We have to understand that. Now, yes, there is a special love for those who love Jesus and for those who obey His commandments, the Bible says. But the love of God, there is part of the love of God that is unmerited to us. It's given to us by grace, just in the sovereignty of God continually. And we rejoice in that. That we receive His goodness through grace. Now in Titus 3, 7, it says, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Once the grace of God came, justified us, and then now that grace actually makes us heirs according to that hope of eternal life. We are receiving the promises of God. Let's go back to Ephesians here, chapter 3. Now verse 8 and 10, as we work in our passage. This mystery that we are seeing, Paul says, to me was given. Though I am the very least of all the saints, that grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. When we receive the gift by grace, there is in this gift of grace unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's why it's so amazing, you know, as we think of this illustration, you know, the more we seek, the more we have. Amen? Amen. The deeper we go, the more we understand. Amen? Amen? But we will never be able to say, I got it all from Christ. We have it all. Amen? But we may not understand everything yet. We keep opening the gift. We keep looking and we keep seeing that God has something else to give us as we go deeper. And God is with us and He is renewing us and strengthening us. And yet, as we receive more from Him and get it for us and experience it, and the value of it is in us, God says, I still have more for you. Because His riches are unsearchable. What an amazing thing, right? What an amazing thing to be partakers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 9 it says, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things. And then, so that through the church, which is us, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Not only angels long to look at this gift of a gift of salvation, but and the enemy, the demons and the principalities and the governments, they don't want to see it. But you know what? Ashamedly, they look and they see, wow, Christ keeps giving them more and more gifts. We have no chance against the church because Christ is in them. It's a mystery that provides to us the unsearchable riches of God. In Ephesians 1:8-10, the Bible explains this. He says, Paul says through the Holy Spirit that He lavished upon us these riches in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will. We know what the plan is. And according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. We are between the moment of the full revelation and the moment when we have received some of the revelation. Amen? But one day, the will of the Lord will be established on the earth as it is in heaven. And we pray for that. Amen? And everything is going to be united. And let me tell you something. As we look at the world and the things that are going on around us, we are nearer and we are closer to that moment of revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen? Coming in the clouds and appearing from heaven and giving us the fullness of these riches that Paul is mentioning here in Ephesians 1. Now in Ephesians 2, Paul says, He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In fact, remember this. I was told this by Pastor Doug. I was told this. When we are seated with Christ, we don't fight like the rest of the world fights. Amen? We are with Christ in the heavenly places. And we look down on the things of this world, the rulers of this world, and we receive the gifts and the blessings that Jesus Christ has. So that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what are we going to be experiencing in heaven one day, in the coming ages? The kindness of Christ in us. He's going to be lavishing us continually. So God's favor raises us and seats us with Christ so that we may experience those riches of love through the coming ages. Now, 2 Peter 1:3-4, speaking of this grace, look what it says. His divine power has granted to us all things, everything that pertains to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. It's not just a day. It's not just a celebration. We know Him. We know Christ. We experience Him. And through Him, we receive these things and gifts that pertain to life and godliness. And then He says, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. So that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature. Not only we are rescued by Christ and receive His goodness, but one day, as we see, we are going to be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. So the fullness of the revelation of Christ is going to come in our lives in such a way that we are going to be fully transformed. How many of you are waiting for that moment? That's part of the gift that is to come. So Romans 8:32 says, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? So the grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is abundant. The grace of God is continuing for us until the moment of our arrival and transformation. Finally, not only a purposeful mystery, not only an expected mystery, not only a mystery of grace, but finally a mystery of hope. We're waiting for that moment of transformation. And look what Paul says back in Ephesians 3, verse 11. This was according to the eternal purpose that He has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we, right now, have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. This is the amazing thing, you know. As we experience the gift of Christ and the blessings of Christ, you know. At any given time in our lives, we are able to come to Christ and receive His goodness through faith. and to say, Lord, I need help today in my life. So this mystery that we are seeing is a mystery that assures us access to the blessings of God with confidence. Look at verse 13, which I felt read, but look what it says. So I ask you not to lose heart in the midst of the circumstances. Maybe the years go by and you're wondering when, Lord. Maybe you look at your children and you say, Lord, they haven't understood yet what it means to open the gift of salvation. They are looking at the outer part of the gift, but they haven't received the gift and the value of it. Remember, He who did not spare His Son, how much will not He give us everything that we need? And then we come to Him, and in that moment when we need His grace, His hope, He give it to us. Look what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I realize, you know, that in these times, there are a lot of needs. Sometimes in us as Christians. And maybe we experience these needs so that we may have compassion and we may comfort those that are going through different trials and circumstances and things. You know, and yes, when the world portrays a picture of everything supposed to be fine because it's Christmas, the reality is that everybody is battling something. Amen? And missing something. But for us Christians, we go to God to find grace to help in time of the needs that we have. In Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. He is faithful. He will accomplish His will. He will give us everything that we need. And He is there for us. In 1 Peter 1:13, look what it says. Therefore, preparing your minds for actions. For action. And being sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is still one gift that we haven't opened. And we will. Amen? And when that gift is open, we will see the value inside of it, which is the fullness of the grace revealed in us when we go to heaven. And therefore, we should be just setting our hope fully on that grace that is to be appeared. Our bodies will be transformed. We'll be like Christ is. We'll be with Him receiving the goodness of His love forever and ever. No more pain. No more tears. You know what? No more sin in our bodies. Amen? No more suffering because of our sin. No more eating disorderly. No more being tempted by sexual temptations or, you know, cravings of this world and having that feeling of guilt and pain in us when we sin. But we will be fully free and transformed in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Look what it says in 1 John 3:1-3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. That we should be called children of God. And so we are. We are by faith right now. And the reason why the world does not know us in that, The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. It's about to appear. We see that Christ is coming back. We're waiting for Him. We're putting our hope in that. And then we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. We are Christ's. Amen? And the reason we celebrate Christ is because the mystery is being revealed to us. So let us pray that through this coming week, you know, whatever you are, whatever you do, wherever you go, the people that you encounter, through the mystery that Christ has revealed in your life, other people may have an ability, a transformation, maybe an insight into what is going on in your life. Your children, your grandchildren, the people that you are going to celebrate. We are ambassadors of Christ. Amen? And instruments of the grace of God now, because we are stewardships of this mystery. Lord, we thank You this morning, Lord. We worship You. We give You praise, Lord, for we know that throughout our life, Lord, we are experiencing Your grace continually. In so many ways, Lord. We were rescued. We were brought to You, Lord. We have experienced Your goodness. Lord, You have changed many things in us, Lord, and You continually do that. But Lord, through this time, allow us to remember that this mystery that we have, Lord, is a mystery of grace. A mystery, Lord, that was expected by many, Lord, but we experience by Your grace at this point in time, and it's a mystery that gives us hope and gives us purpose, but by that way, Lord, direction to proclaim, to preach, Lord, to adore, but also, Lord, to be witness of Your name, to be the light in the midst of darkness for the world. Lord, enable us to rejoice in You continually. Thank You for the gift that we have. And this Christmas, Lord, allow us to rejoice in You continually. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's worship the Lord with this last song and we finish.